Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks. The end.
And it's over. Goodbye.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
We're going to talk about head vases.
Okay. Now, is this what I think it is from what it sounds like?
Now, what do you think it is from what it sounds like?
A vase that you place atop your head for decorative purposes.
Grossly incorrect.
Shit.
I don't know how you could have messed that up worse, honestly.
I turn in my antiques license.
It's a vase shaped like a head.
Oh. Oh. Is this like the one I have?
You have one?
The Captain Ahab one.
Sort of. Although that's more of a Toby mug.
Oh.
That one has a handle, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But you're thinking along the right lines, but it having a handle makes it no longer a head vase.
Okay.
Although you are right, head vases could be men, although that's pretty uncommon. They're also called lady head vases, or doll head vases, or head planters.
Okay. Just because people like putting plants in heads?
I guess so, because you're not going to get too much more of a satisfactory explanation of the why in this situation.
The end.
I can tell you about them, but I'm not going to be able to tell you what prompted grim humanity to make it real.
We can give you the what, the where, the who, and the how, but we cannot give you the why.
Sure can't. So, head vases, which are vases that are most commonly in the shape of ladies' heads, are vases for flowers. Usually dried flowers, because they don't actually tend to have enough of a well for water for, like, fresh cut. Although that would change eventually. And they were made from the 1940s through the 1970s. Although there's wiggle room in either direction for that. For florists, basically. The original head vases are actually credited to 18th century France as just another one of their, like, weird court curiosities.
This is what happens when you have too much money and not enough to do.
Yeah. And then in the 1940s, but mostly the 1950s, when at the height of their popularity, they kind of turned into the teleflora vase, where they were ubiquitous.
The teleflora vase?
Oh, God. Okay. The teleflora vase... So there are a number of internet and, at one point, call center florists that you could use to send stuff to people that you forgot the birthdays of.
Oh, like 1-800-Flowers.
Yeah, like 1-800-Flowers. I actually think that might... No, Teleflora is still Teleflora. But yeah, Teleflora is the original 1-800-Flowers.
Oh.
Yeah. I guarantee if you went to a Savers right now and turned over 10 vases, 9 of them would be Teleflora.
Dang.
Or 1-800-Flowers, actually. But, so yeah, they're vases that are mass-produced for florists. You used to be able to only buy them in batches. Because before the 80s, why would you just have one that hadn't already been filled with flowers for your birthday? In addition to the fact that they were just kind of there to be different from a plain vase, the little tiny hole was there to maximize profit because you had to put less flowers in it.
Ha-ha!
They were popularized, or their popularization is largely attributed to an artisan named Betty Lou Nichols. And in addition to Ceramic Arts Studio and Dorothy Copley, but mostly Betty Lou Nichols. She was a hand artisan who made them in her parents' kitchen with a rolling pin and clay. Each and every one of them is unique, and they came to typify the style of head vase that would later become like a huge craze. They got picked up by other American companies ripping off Betty Lou Nichols. Not long after World War II, Japanese companies picked it up too. And the Japanese companies pretty quickly outstripped the American companies because they could do them faster and cheaper. So you see a lot of companies, both American and Japanese, like Napco, Inesco, Lefton, Yukago, Inarco, and of course, Dorothy Copley. The fact that after Japan got its head around hand vases, and its hands around head vases...
Oh no. Oh no.
The mass production would eventually be what drove them out of popularity in the 70s. So the best thing about head vases is that, at last assumption, or rough count, by the group known as the Headhunters, and I do not know if they're still active, I could not find the Headhunters newsletter or any news of, like, any new Headhunters convention.
Their name is actively painful to me.
Why is that?
This is a terrible pun.
They're collecting head vases, they're Headhunters!
I know, they're literally hunting for heads, but...
They suspected that there were over 10,000 unique designs of head vase.
So not 10,000 units, but 10,000 possible units.
10,000 possible units, yes.
10,000 unique possible unit
yes.
styles.
Exactly.
That's too many heads.
And all of them made in batches, so multiples of each of these.
That's many heads.
It is! They were incredibly popular for a short, about 40-year window.
The 20th century was a mistake.
I don't know about that, but a lot of mistakes were made. 10,000 of them, some say. So, ladies' head vases usually depict a woman. Usually a fashionable woman. Generally what was at the time considered the ideal standard of face beauty, which just tends to look like a cartoon of a woman. Lots of them had hats. Some of them were arranged in such a fashion that the flowers you put in them were supposed to resemble their hats. They had whatever hairstyle was popular at the time of it being manufactured. They would get real fancy. They had a lot of like hand-sculpted details, like separate lace ruffles made out of like lace porcelain, dimensional eyelashes painstakingly applied in porcelain, separate jewelry like necklaces or little earrings, mold sculpted busts that showed off like the neckline of a popular fashion of the day. Some of them had hands present, usually one hand framing the face, either wearing a glove or impeccably manicured. Most of them were adult women, teenage ones, which it's not weird. Are currently some of the most popular ones.
I wish they weren't.
It makes me distinctly uncomfortable, but that it's pretty easy to judge on site which ones are teenager and which ones are adult, given that they're all just like cartoons of women. So it's, I hate it. That's fine. there are also celebrity head vases, which is also not weird. And they range from the understandably innocent, Lucille Ball, Grace Kelly, Mitzi Gaynor, Carmen Miranda, Donna Reed, iconic women that kind of came to represent like fashion as a brand, to the, I'm going to go ahead and say grotesque, including Jackie Kennedy. Now, you're saying, well, Jackie Kennedy was also seen as a fashion icon. There's one of Jackie Kennedy in mourning with a tear rolling down her face.
Okay. That, well...
You could own a vase of Jackie Kennedy mourning her assassinated husband.
I feel like we could do an entire episode on the Kennedys in mourning memorabilia.
We probably will.
It's like a whole thing.
It's a trip, and it's, again, grotesque.
It's one of my roommate's favorite things.
It really is, though. It's grim. It's super grim. You also get, like, kind of offshoots like Debbie Kaspari's Cameo Girls, which would actually be made later past the 1980s and into the early 2000s. Despite the fact that these are newer, they actually do still lump in with the collectibles. They're not considered reproductions because they're not.
They're not reproducing something that already existed. They're making something new.
Exactly. In an old style. Actually, I believe the Kaspari line of Cameo Girls used to do it exclusive for the Headhunters convention every year.
There's a Headhunters convention?
I don't know if it's still running. Again, I tried to find information about whether or not the newsletter and the convention were still active, and I couldn't find information, and the official website is no longer up. So it doesn't look good. Ken has mimed a single tear rolling down his cheek.
Almost as if someone had littered on the highway.
There were also branded ones like Disney. And after people kind of exhausted the idea of a woman's severed head covered flowers...
It never stops being weird!
It really doesn't. You get babies... famous men or male characters, you know, actually, I don't know if, I believe there is, in fact, a Sherlock Holmes one. There's Huck Finn.
Of course.
I don't think too many male celebrities, although there might be a Charlie Chaplin one.
I would bet money that there's a Michael Jackson one.
There's almost certainly a Michael Jackson one.
Didn't you sell a baby head vase on the Etsy?
I did. I did. And that was one of them.
Just an example of the fine vintage goods you can encounter at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks.
It had a charming lace ruffle around the neck.
It really did.
Clowns! Clowns actually make up their own demographic of head vase.
Clowns make up their own demographic of every possible kind of antique.
For a culture that claims to hate clowns, we sure have a lot of memorabilia about clowns. I'm just saying, I think some people don't hate clowns as much as they profess to.
Or the people who don't hate clowns just have more money than the people who hate clowns.
Now there's an idea. Imagine you could start loving clowns and become rich.
The secret too.
The blowback is that you only want to buy things about clowns.
In a world where clowns are real.
And that's the world we're in, buddy. most people really like these for what you're probably assuming is the obvious reason. They're glamorous. They're intensely kitschy.
You don't say.
And kind of from a time before kitsch got really ugly, in my opinion. So it's kind of, it retains that sort of like charming kitsch that I think a lot of people associate with the 1950s. And I think it also has the double of, if you have like a favorite era in that small window, you could limit it. You could just have a bunch of severed heads that have that style.
Just a bunch of 1960s severed heads.
Page boys in pillbox hats. Jackie Kennedy mourning. That's not weird.
Why would it be weird?
None of this is weird. I can't tell you enough.
God.
Desirable traits and head vases. This is tricky because it is one of vanishingly few antiques and collectible categories where the maker is really not super important.
Really?
There are some exceptions. Betty Lou Nichols examples are highly sought after because they kind of came to typify the collectiosphere. That's a word I made up.
Sure is.
Collectiosphere. Shit, wait. Good Pokemon idea. Collectiosphere.
Oh.
It evolves into Collectiorb. That's all I got. Don't look at me like you were expecting more. Oh, or were you expecting me to stop? Anyway. Because there are so goddamn many, the idea of rarity gets kind of slung onto what they look like instead. So you get some broad categories. Sizes. Size matters here.
It's the only place where size matters.
Sure. For example, larger sizes are always in higher demand, so that's 7 inches and up. Yes. 5 to 7 inches is kind of the standard size.
Would you say that was average?
I'd say it's about average.
Okay.
But there are also lots of them made in smaller sizes, 2 inches and up.
Micro, some would call those.
Yes. No one's called them that.
Maybe they should start. Do we have, like, the Headhunter Society's, like, address?
Hey, do you think that it's not weird enough already?
I think we could get weirder.
I guess. Yeah.
I think, listen, if we're already going to be this weird, I feel like we need to embrace the weirdness and just, like, go full throttle weird.
You don't want to know what additions I would have to that concept. Like I said, headvases depicting teen girls, which were introduced around the 1960s.
Okay, we can dial back on that particular aspect of the weirdness.
That one wasn't in my plan, but I feel the need that if the collectors are interested, I have to tell them. The more detailed, the better, generally. As many, like, fine little details as can be crammed into the headvase will up its desirability, like I said before. Hats, jewelry pieces, especially jewelry pieces that are intact and original. Dimensional eyelashes will always be preferred. Especially because if they're in good condition, those are the first things to break. The presence of hands. Interesting or iconic modes of dress or hairstyle. Of course, if it depicts a specific person, that's really cool. Unusual hair ornament. That's the hair ornaments, barrettes, and jewelry I find are probably some of the hardest to find next to certain celebrities. Marilyn Monroe is obviously a highly sought after one. But, you know, they have all kinds of jewelry, from hair jewelry to brooches on their little lapels. Of course, condition is super important, like all things where the make and model doesn't necessarily matter. Condition, especially since these were porcelain, especially since they had tons of little fiddly bits, the condition's gonna make or break it. And I mean that literally.
Because it's breakable.
Because it could be broken.
Because it's fragile.
Matte finish is almost always desirable over glaze. There was sort of like a sub-brand called the Glamour Girl head vases, and they were kind of a 1960s budget version. And so they were made with like a heavy ceramic instead of the fine porcelain. But generally because of their lower quality and cheaper price, the glaze that they featured, because you have to glaze these kinds of potteries, was associated with not quite as good. Couldn't get as much detail on there. So a matte is preferable to a glaze, although you do find some rare examples glazed. That is going to become a matter of taste.
I'm also wondering if they want the matte texture because supposedly matte porcelain is similar to human skin.
That's an unpleasant thought that I wish we hadn't had together in this room.
You came to the microphone and spoke into it, women's heads for sale.
Yes. And normal.
Okay.
Normal.
Cool and normal, yeah. No.
Cool and normal.
No objections.
Right.
A very cool and normal talk we've had today.
So as far as celebrity heads go, severed heads full of flowers, the more recognizable, the better. That is why Jackie O and Marilyn Monroe do kind of dominate the charts, price charts, in terms of, like, popularity and price. But if someone could once recognize them, that's still gonna be better than a nameless head. And that goes for the same for unusual subject matter, where a nicely crafted baby, although babies, I think, get overrepresented later, male characters are pretty hard to find. I haven't seen a clown in real life. The head face. Unfortunately, I've seen several clowns, but not a head face of a clown. So I don't know what that means. To me, the clown feels pretty rare. But there might be someone in Kansas who would really like to stop seeing clown head faces. So, you know, your mileage may vary. When it's such a huge field, the concept of rarity is very tetchy. There aren't set numbers on anything. It's just, how many of these desirable categories I've named can you stack up?
We also know that there are at least 10,000 varieties.
Exactly. So when you're talking about rarity, you can't just say, like, oh, this pattern, oh, this style. It's a combination of all of this together will determine rarity. The exclusion is always exclusions are, of course, specific makers and certain celebrities. There's only so many Marilyn Monroe heads. One. And it's attached to Marilyn Monroe.
God, I hope so.
Let's not think about that anymore now, shall we? Unfortunately, with all of this, what comes is, what do you think?
Reproductions?
Reproductions. Reproductions and fantasy pieces.
Is Martha Stewart behind this, or is this a little beyond the usual timeline she deals in?
She doesn't go for kitsch, usually. She's kind of country home cottage. This is not her fault.
For once.
For once. For fucking once, Martha. Martha!
Thank you for your restraint, Martha.
Yeah, well, just, like, glad this one thing you could have not tainted for us.
I'm imagining Snoop Dogg just, like, staying her hand. Like a merciful angel keeping Abraham from sacrificing Isaac.
Shakes his head like, not this one. It's tough. It gets tougher the newer head you're looking at, too. The 70s and 80s heads are much harder to tell the reproductions apart because mostly just because the manufacturing methods aren't as distinct as they are from the 60s and the 50s and the 40s. Good luck. In general, I'm going to trot out right away. I did find a really great resource. Christina Astelzer, that's Christina Astelzer.com, has a gallery of fake heads that she's found and purchased and resold as fakes for novelty. And it's a great place to kind of acquaint yourself with what a fake looks like. With a lot of difficult to tell, it really boils down to detail, which I know sucks because it presumes a familiarity with the subject. But it's a lot of the fineness of detail, the weight. It's just going to keep coming back to detail on these because the fakes have pretty much glossy finishes almost all the time, which is why I think a lot of people are hesitant about a gloss finish because the matte ones are the most common. And just general, like, sloppily applied paint, uneven features. Almost none of the repros have molded eyelashes. Airbrush kind of paint jobs and, like, pillow shading. Just general ineptitude. If it looks cheap, it might be a cheap reproduction. You'd be wary of anything marked Nippon. This was once a general export marking, is now used to fool a lot of people into thinking things are antique, since Japan no longer marks its exports Nippon. But Nippon-marked head vases are usually reproductions. The other thing to look at, as with all reproductions, is you look for signs of wear. If it's too clean on the inside, if it doesn't show any sign of dust, dirt accumulation, water staining.
Particularly with matte porcelain, not getting dust accumulation is going to be hard.
Exactly.
You'd have to, like, spray clean that shit.
You would have to have an immaculate collection for that to have been the case. And the bases. Always have some kind of wear, some scuffing.
Like, they were picked up, they were put down, the flowers were freshened. Things are moved.
Lipstick was applied. Lipstick was washed off.
No. We are dialing down the weirdness.
Oh, sorry.
We are easing off the weirdness throttle.
Oh, excuse me. It really boils down to always be suspicious if it seems too good to be true. If you say, damn, this looks really clean, have your head on a swivel.
Your lady's head vase just on a Lazy Susan?
No, God, don't put that on a swivel. They're very delicate.
Can I just put it on a turntable and just have it slowly rotating as a record plays?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you could.
Yay! All I ever wanted.
Some other e-resources if you have heard about all of these delightful severed heads and want to know more. A couple of books, Collecting Head Vases by David Barron, Head Vases, Identification and Values by Kathleen Cole, and Head Vases, Etc., The Artistry of Betty Lou Nichols by Maddie Gordon. Maddie Gordon is the individual who used to run the Headhunters newsletter and convention. Again, no word on if that's still happening. I doubt it, unfortunately.
Headhunters in hiding?
The Headhunters, they hunt no more.
So stupid.
You're so exasperated with them.
So stupid. That was fun.
Do you want it to be weirder?
Do I?
Yeah. Let's make it weirder. No, this isn't, it doesn't, I don't have any examples. I'm just like, I'm spitballing here.
Oh, okay.
Like death mask head vase.
Ah, okay. We
would
are
be weirder,
all,
right?
It would be weirder. You are correct in that it would in fact be weirder.
We could get that going.
No, we couldn't actually, because we would go to prison jail.
They got those shrinking mold making things now, right? So you can apply like an alginate and it'll shrink down to like a collectible size.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's an idea, is what I'm saying.
Right, but, like, you know how death masks get made, right?
Yeah. It's not illegal if you ask. And they say yes.
Tell you what, we will table this and put it in the queue behind all the new t-shirt designs.
You know...
And if we, like, cycle through all the t-shirts and then we get to it, we can reconsider it. Maybe put it back to the back of the queue. Or we consider, like, stickers or something. And then...
All right. All right, that's fair.
Yeah, you know, we could just keep... through the rest of our lives, cycling through it again and again, every once in a while, remembering, wow, we sure did have this idea once, huh? And then putting it to the back of the line.
I mean, as long as we can keep it on the table.
I was hoping we could keep it in, like, a box under the table.
You know, as long as it's adjacent to the table.
Under the floorboards, under the table.
That's still
buried in the cellar and the floor beneath the table.
A lot of cool things are in the cellar, so that's fine with me.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
I'm just saying the Body World's exhibits aren't illegal.
They should be.
They're not! There's full- you know, having a hot take here, huh? Huh, fella?
They're Chinese political prisoners.
Not the- no, that's not the- those are the off-brand ones. The Body World's proper are all donated.
Okay.
With full sound of mind and body at the time of donation.
Okay.
It's a medical donation. The Body World's with Gunther von Hagen are completely above board.
Alright.
And that's the only one you should be supporting.
Sources for this episode include-
Bodyworlds.com.
No.
No. Collectorsweekly.com. Their article, Head Vases. Ladies of the House.
Oh no.
--AK blogspot.com. Short history of lady head vases.
I bet.
Hubpages.com. Ladies head vases. Eldergeneration.net. Meet my head vase friends.
Amazing.
AntiqueWeek.com. Archived article number 857.
Cool.
ChristinaStelzer.com. Ourpastimes.com. Identify lady head vases. Do it.
Do it.
And thesprucecrafts.com. Collectible lady head vases. Unfortunately, headvases.com, it was a resource. It is no longer. It made me very sad.
Oh no.
I feel like I'm missing something vital by not having a website that's just the name of the thing.
Were you able to access it through archive.org at least?
No.
Balls.
No, there aren't. I mean, there are some like stray pages that don't have any context, so it's not super helpful. But it doesn't seem to have been well archived.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Life is pain. If you would like to show us pictures of your super normal ladies' head vases, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com or show us on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
I promise that if you like or collect head vases, we don't actually think you're weird. This is comedy for fun.
This is just because we're two ghoulish people.
Yeah, like, I know, I actually...
This is us bringing our personal biases to...
I think they're cute and fun. I don't actually think they're creepy and weird. Except for that Jackie Kennedy one. That one, I think we all agree, is pretty creepy and weird.
If you would like to yell at us for thinking things are creepy and weird, you should leave us a review in whatever app you're using to listen to this podcast.
And get in line. Because you're in good company, I hear. But seriously, doing a review helps us, gets our creepy little voices in a bunch of creepy little ears.
Yay!
And ultimately, isn't that what we all want?
Yes.
True.
As mentioned earlier, we do have an Etsy shop at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks with a wide variety of vintage goods and stickers and t-shirts with the podcast logo on them.
And soon to come, A spooky variation.
Spooky.
Once I can get it cleared with the printer.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
Will it be creepy? We don't know.
We don't know, because it's random.
XD. Rar.
Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees, buying us the shiny new microphone, and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
Get ready for the shrieking.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's our you.
Goodbye.
Bye.